Turn back with me to 2 Thessalonians. You know, all we hold as to the truth of God's sovereign election in eternity. There is another that runs alongside that, that is a merciful, gracious, kind Savior. He never has nor ever will turn one away. And it would be a shame to enter into eternity and have him pass you by. But it'd be because we would not come to him. There are not many of you, but we have a great guest who always visits when the church gathers. I hope you'll bow with me in thanksgiving and appreciation to him for what he has, is, and shall continue to do for each of you, each of us. Gracious and eternal God, we can go as far as our minds will carry us. But we can't get to the depth of your condescension. We can't get to the height or to the breadth of your love. And we certainly cannot get to the cost that you paid that we might have eternal life. Lord, it had to be a blessed place when that dear saint of God, many years ago, said, "Thou art more than life to me." If we can just get lost in that, know something about a heart that can pen those words, not because we read them or sang them, but because we experience maybe a small degree of the blessed Lord of glory being more than life to us. I pray, Father, that you would exalt him tonight I ask you to so work in hearts that we might run after Him. And I know, based upon the surety of your promises, we shall find Him when we have searched and sought Him with all of our hearts. I pray you'd help these. If the words tonight have little meaning or relevance at the time, I pray you'd make them beneficial somewhere down the road in that difficult strait, in that perplexing situation. I pray you'd bring them back in mind to Christ, our great High Priest, and in and through Him find, when they get to the end of the road, don't know which way to turn, I pray you'd turn their faces towards the blessed Lamb of God. Hear us tonight because we ask these things in His name. And we not only are asking you for these that are here, for your divine help, but Lord, your children out there that are suffering, afflicted, under trials, some with heavy burdens. I pray you'd help them, dear Father. And Lord, those dear sheep that know so little of a church, no church home, no church family, I pray you minister to them through the preaching of Thy Word. In Christ's name, we ask these things, and for His glory, amen. Sunday, I kind of closed out with those that fall away are as essential for the glory of God as the vessels of mercy being fitted in time for the eternal glory that awaits them. Now you need them. For it is in and through them that you have opportunity to manifest the grace and the fruit of the Spirit in your heart, if given the opportunity to be as your Lord. You'd turn the other cheek. You'd pray for your enemies and those that despitefully use you. And you would be as willing as He to beg God to be merciful to their souls. But another thing in the falling away, God has set before your eyes the steadfastness of some. On His work in the vessels of mercy. But they can't any of us claim that in its fullest until we come to the end of the way and it can be said of us and the testimony of God in our own souls that we remain steadfast. They're falling away. It's God's message to you. Watch. Be diligent. Keep your heart. Strive to enter in and stay on that straight and narrow path. It could have been you that fell away. And it could have been any of them that did not fall away. And in your falling away, you would be an example to them to keep a constant watch upon their hearts. And I know that when we enter glory, if we, by God's grace, are permitted there, that none of us will have nothing to boast about except the grace and the mercy of God. If you do not fall away, it is because of God. If you do fall away, it is because of you. I said 2 Thessalonians 2. Well, we've read the verse enough. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. Except there come a falling away first. Second thing that's going to happen is the man of sin shall be revealed. But we're still on the falling away. Isaiah chapter 41. And verse number 2. It is due to the mercy of God that you remain faithful. It will do to that mercy if you remain faithful all the days of your life. Don't lose what you got by becoming careless. Isaiah 41, 2, speaking of God, who raised up the righteous man from the east, called him to his foot, gave the nations before him and made him rule over kings. He gave them as the dust to his word and as a driven stubble to his bow. He pursued them past safely, even by the way that he had not gone with his feet. Who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning, I, the Lord, the first and with the last, I am He. Abraham called him, kept him when he didn't know where he was going, brought him out of a Gentile heathen nation where they did not know God, and yet God made him the father of spiritual Israel. Isaiah 43, verse number 3. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I want you to know what I've done for you. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Sheba for thee. And God has gave you those that fall away, manifesting his mercy and grace in you, in keeping ye. Why do you do that, Lord? Give nations, since thou wast precious in my sight. Thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. God sets the example before us. And in that example says, do not follow far behind. Do not follow carelessly. Look at them. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even every one that is called by name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I made him. So I want you to think with me for a little while. Not so much tonight on the falling away, but on why the children will not fall away. It not only is a possibility of all falling away, it's an absolute certainty that everyone will, unless God keeps you. You've got the potential within. I do. Earth pulls everything back to itself. And your feet are planted on this ground, and on this ground you walk because of the earth pulling you to it. From it we were formed, to it we will be conformed. On it we will take our pathway through life. You will fall away unless God keeps ye. And when you step inside the portals of glory, you will not attribute it to anything within yourself or your efforts, but totally to God. I'll give you three simple biblical reasons why the children will not fall away. You know them. As soon as I mention them, then you will see. I knew that. Number one, the eternal counsel and decrees of God the Father before he ever made anything. There was a union, an inseparable union between the children of God and Christ. You remember God creating Adam, and He called him He in Genesis 1. And in that he said them, for the bride, the woman, the wife, was already in him. And there is and has been forever that eternal union between Christ and the church, between every individual member. And all of us, if we could go far enough back, could trace the cause and the reason behind this decree, this council, this foreordination of God. We could trace it all the way back to the very heart of God. Nothing else. Jeremiah 31. We turn away. I'll ask you to keep your something in Jeremiah. I want to come back shortly. Jeremiah 31. At the same time, saith the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus saith the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel. Now ask yourself if he's talking about the nation Israel. And your answer has got to be no, because he said they found grace in the wilderness. But remember, with that generation, God was not pleased. And God destroyed them for their unbelief. Their nature of always wanting something they didn't have. In mind, running back to the flesh pots of Egypt when they were eating angels' food. So all that were in the nation of Israel did not find grace. But the people of God found grace that belonged to national Israel. But verse 3 is what I want you to look at. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Now, if it is everlasting, it had to be from eternity to eternity, throughout eternity. God didn't start loving you. And God didn't sit up there and make a choice. I'm going to love him and her and that one and that one. He didn't make a choice. He didn't choose to love. He loved. And because he loved, he drew. And his love was not based upon those that he chose, but those that he chose were so based upon the eternal love of God. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 3. For we which have believed do enter into rest. That is a rest through all the changes life brings. That is a rest on life's sea. That is filled with its great winds and turbulent waters. There is a rest with all the rising tide or the falling of the tide in your life. There is a rest. When the winds of adversity blow and sorrow grips your soul and you don't see a way out, life is grievous. There is a rest in the soul of God's children. In the midst of the storm, though the old man is tossed about, in the big depth of your soul, there's an anchor. It's called faith, hope. It's laid hold of God, of Christ, and you enter into rest upon believing. And faith being increased, rest becomes more so to your soul. Or you can take things. You can accept them. And you can bow to them. And learn from them. Or you can oppose and resist. And if you're a child, God's going to bring you right back to the same place. Circumstances might be a little different. But He's going to accomplish that He intended to accomplish. All the events in life, be they seemingly beneficial or seemingly harmful, everything that comes your way is coming that way due to the eternal counsel and decree of God. There is a rest. As I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. That's a long time ago, folks. All time does, and all that circumstances do, is bring out to completion the work of God finished from the foundation of the world. If God loved a people, and Christ died for that people, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. But that is the extent. God loves, Christ died. That is the extent of God's work. And salvation is placed in motion. But everything in life is dependent upon chance, fortune, happenings. How few would ever find God. Jeremiah 1. Jeremiah 1 verse 5. God talking, I don't know how old Jeremiah was, young man, child, early teens, I don't know. Before I formed thee in the belly I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. God's eternal decrees. And some would look at this or that which God has decreed and say that that eliminates repentance and believing. Right the opposite. It brings about repentance and believing. Can I tell you one more time? If ever you have repented, you will go through life repenting. And if ever you have believed, you will go through life believing. God's decree. That meant that the grandmother and the grandfather of Jeremiah and the grandmother and the grandfather of the grandmother and father of Jeremiah and their great-grandparents and their great-grandparents, all the way back from birth to reach age of childbearing, God had to watch over them. And He had to keep them because He had determined in time that a mother and a dad would birth a little boy they'd call Jeremiah. And God not only, before He formed him, knew him, and before he came forth out of the womb, sanctified. Now, I don't know all in that, but I know this, that sanctification will be a beginning process when Jeremiah comes to know God experimentally. Now God had to determine the bounds and the habitation of the great-great-grandparents. And He had to determine the circumstances in which great-great-granddaddy met great-great-grandmother and keep all their kids, or the one that would be the mother and the father of this one he chose. That's not peculiar to Jeremiah. That's every child. But not only the decrees of God, but the unchanging nature and character of God. If God changed as oft as I, He would have kicked me out of the family a long time ago. If God had the least amount of unfaithfulness in Him, then He would have had reason, an opportunity to be unfaithful to me for my unfaithfulness to Him. But He's got an unchanging nature, so the children won't fall away. Secondly, the intercessory work of the Lord Jesus. I wish you'd get this. I read it a few years back from J.C. Philpott in one of his devotions. And he said, there is a life which Christ lives for Himself. He's talking about now. A life of inconceivable glory in his human nature. Chew on that a little. There is a life which Christ lives now for himself. A life of inconceivable glory in his human nature. At this moment, there is a man at the right hand of God. You call his name Jesus. There never will be a time when anything occurs in your life that the sympathizing Jesus isn't feeling what you feel. In their afflictions, he is afflicted. On the throne he sits this night in mediation. Mediation between God and saved sinners still living in the Adamic nature. I need thee every hour. Every hour I need thee, Lord Jesus. If he left you for a moment, you're going to fall. If he takes his eyes off of you for a second, you're going to get lost. Folk, the sheep, naturally, sometimes they can get heavy, and if they lie down in a little indention in the earth, they can't get up. And if the shepherd doesn't find them in time, they will die. Sometimes their wool is so heavy and they picked up so much of burrs and the lice and all these hitchhikers out there and the flat family that they get weighted down. Sometimes they stray out of the way. And if there wasn't this all-reigning Christ, Jesus, the man on the throne, he knows what it is for you to get down and out. He knows what it is for sorrow to fill the heart. He is touched with the feeling of your infirmities. And he knows the condition of the sheep. But not only is he in this inconceivable glory in his human nature, sitting as the mediator of all the sheep left in human nature, but he is as king with absolute sovereign power, reigning, controlling all circumstances. If you need it, it's coming your way. If you don't need it, he'll prevent it. If it does come your way, it's because he sent it as beneficial to your soul. He is in absolute control. Now, if there's one child, one single individual child that God loved back in eternity, and Christ died for at Calvary, that doesn't make it. Out of the hundreds of thousands that will be in glory, part of Jesus Christ will be missing. The bride will be incomplete, making the bridegroom incomplete. He paid it all. He prayed for them all. And then the prayer in John 17 takes on a different tone. I pray not for the world, I pray for these that thou hast given me. I pray for those that you will give me through the ministry of these and others. But he changed tones in the middle of that prayer in John 17. And it went from a petitioning mediator to the will of a king and to the declaration of his will as God. I will that those thou hast given me be with me where I am in glory. So the mediator continues his work, and the mediator's work is to see that the will of the king is done. They will be with him in glory. He wants to take anything out of the hands of the mediator and place it into the hands of men. Even as far as holding on or persevering is to give partial credit to man and partial credit to Jesus for your salvation. The children will persevere, but the only reason the children persevere is because of the mediation of Christ. I know they'll finish the race, but I know they do so not because they put forth an effort, but because he gave grace and made that effort beneficial to their soul. Simon, Satan's desired thee, but I've prayed for you. Just a few verses now, Colossians 1. Colossians 1:21, and you, that's us, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight, if you continue in the faith. Jude said, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory in exceeding glory. 1 Peter 1. Verse 3 talks about the birth to a lively, living hope by what happened 2,000 years ago. And because of that birth, there is an inheritance for the persevering children. Incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. I wish a lot of folk that believed in once saved, always saved had that stripped from their brain. Yes, I just told you, the children will not fall away. But there's a lot of folk going to hell holding on to a truth in one hand and nothing's taking place in their life from the point of their supposed salvation. Through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. John 17, I may have already quoted a verse or two of this. John 17, verse 8, For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I quoted verse 9 to you. You know verse 10, verse 11. And now I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we. It will come to pass. The sheep will not fall away because of the Father's eternal purposes in Christ, because of the intercession of the Lord Jesus Christ, and number 3, because of the effectual sealing works of the Spirit of God in a believer's heart. Grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Mom, I'm sure you, your moms, as the crops begin to produce, they'd wash it and prepare it, cook it, that, and then they'd put it in fruit or gallon jars and put a ring around the lid and wait for them all to see. If one didn't seal, we would eat it in a day or two because it wouldn't keep. All in Christ are sealed by the Spirit of God unto the day of redemption. In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. But folks, it's a little more than the sealing of the sealing work of the Holy Spirit. It is the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit in all the vessels that He seals. After that ye heard, you trusted, you believed. Why do you hear? There was somebody that heard exactly the same thing you did. They had the same physical ability with a natural ear taking in the vibrations and the mind translating it into words. But they didn't hear. Why did you? Other sheep I have that are none of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. He that is of God heareth me. But you don't hear me, therefore you are not of God. He speaks in the messages. He speaks in the scriptures. He speaks in providence. But He speaks. And it's not to educate you so much mentally as it is that His words might purify and sanctify and keep you. You can't know you were sealed back then except by a continuation of the Spirit's work. For He whom the Holy Ghost seals, they're kept by the power of God unto faith through the intercession of their great high priest. Now, folks, one day Jesus is going to lay aside the robe of mediation. There's a lot of folk that are outside that now. There's some folk you just don't have a heart to pray for. You try. You want to. Sometimes you might force some words. But you feel like it's empty. Now He might renew that someday. He might not. I don't know. I do know there's a great number of people that aren't included in the mediation of Christ. Let me give you four verses. Read with me, and then we'll go. 1 Thessalonians 5. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now folks, you do know that your hands and your feet and your ears and your eyes are not you. The use on the inside of a frame of bone and tissue and organs and muscles. The you is what directs, what motivates, inclines, keeps you from. The body be preserved blameless. Romans 8. Romans 8, verse number 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Quicken mortal bodies. I want to ask you to turn, so I'm going to read one last there in Romans 8. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Jesus Christ got out of the grave, and the body in which He dwelt rose, and He ascended back to the Father in that earthly body. Guess what you're going to have throughout eternity? a body. You think we're just going to be spirits floating around all up there? No. This body, if the Lord tarries, will be put in the ground. Children, don't consider. I know cremation. I know it's cheaper. Don't consider it. If they had to put you in a wooden box, let them do that. God put an emphasis upon flesh. Not corrupt flesh now. And it is this body, this same identical body, this right here, yours, will be raised. If it's not that body, God's got to create something new. And He's not going to do that. He's through with creation. This old body come from dust. Lord tarries, it will go back to dust. But infinite, wise, powerful God will bring all those dust particles back together. And it'll be no more difficult than it was taking a lump of clay and making a man the first time. Why do you think Paul was interested in the body? This is corruptible. It's going to put on incorruption. Verse 34, Romans 8. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then he begins to list many things. But it comes to this. Nothing. God the Father purposed because of His heart set on a people. God the Son died, paid their debt, sitting in heaven in a body of flesh as the great intercessor. To see that they all finish the race. And the Holy Spirit of God seals them so that corruption can't get in to the work of God. He that is born of God sinneth not. Well, everybody I know is Christian sins. Yeah, but that within which is born of God comes from God, is as holy as God. And throughout time, circumstances, and all that life brings, it never will sin. And it will mature. And it's that goes back to God. And then God takes that He made within and unites it to the body that He made for you the first time. And then there's the beginning of eternal glory.